This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now, a man who is trying to make sure that you keep more of your hard-earned money. I'm talking about Mr. John Schwartz. He is the founder of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. Welcome back to the show. And you have a case today that talks about some activity in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely, Freddie. Hey, thank you very much for having me back today. Yes, we found this case out of the District of Minnesota and thought we'd share it on your show today.
So talk about this. How much money is involved in this particular case that we're highlighting today?
So, Freddie, this is amazing. This individual pleaded guilty for his participation in a $300 million nationwide marketing fraud scheme that targeted elderly and vulnerable victims. $300 million. Think of the financial devastation this causes.
That's crazy. So how did it unfold? Tell us about it.
So what we have here is that he pleaded guilty on December 8th, 2022, which was only 7 months ago, which is really interesting. And then I compare this to another case that of a financial predator who also stole $300 billion. And that individual was Scott Cohen, who pleaded guilty for conducting a Ponzi investment scheme. And he was sentenced in August 18th, 2022. So these two cases are only a month apart. How this individual, Russell Rahman, conducted his scheme is he sold magazine subscriptions through a telemarketing fraud scheme and then was able to entice over 150,000 elderly victims in this scheme that lasted over 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. So a lot of people have been hurt. Is there any chance of recovery with something like this, these two cases, John?
There is a chance, Freddie, but I'll say that it's a very small chance. And that's the real sad part about this crime. $300 million gone. Only a fraction of this will probably ever be recovered. So in essence, these 150,000 victims may only see a fraction of the money that they lost.
Interesting. What did, from what you understand, what did the U.S. attorney, Erica McDonald, have to say about these cases?
She had a very, very strong statement. Let me share that with you. So this is her statement verbatim. She said, "This case represents the largest elder fraud scheme in our nation. More than 150,000 elderly and vulnerable victims across the United States have been identified in what is essentially a criminal action case." She went on further to say, "Unfortunately, we live in a world where fraudsters are willing to take advantage of seniors who are often trusting and polite. It's my hope that this prosecution is a call for vigilance and caution." And she's exactly right. I mean, Freddie, that's it in a nutshell. These predators will target our most vulnerable because they are trusting and polite, which makes them a perfect target.
So this is really goes into the wheelhouse of what the Elder Financial Abuse, the Center for Combating Financial Abuse does, is to help protect the citizens and their money.
Well, it does. Absolutely, Freddie. And we do that through education. And, you know, the first step of the education that we want to do is make people aware of the size and scope of the threat posed by these financial predators. So we have two data points now. We have Russell Rahm, who we're describing in this case, but we also have Scott Cohen, who just in August of last year pled guilty to stealing $300 million through a Ponzi scheme. So educating our nation's 56 million elders on the size and scope of the threat posed by these financial predators is step number one for us.
All right. So if our listeners would like more information about the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse, what can we do? where would you suggest that we go?
Hey, thank you very much, Freddie. So we have a website. It's the URL is endefa.org. Again, endefa.org. And go to the very front page of that and go to the resources tab, and you'll see summaries of 18 convicted predators that we do a highlight and summary on. And that's our education process, teaching individuals what the predator looks like and their different tactics that they used will help our help protect our nation's 56 million elders.
Two things before we go. One of your colleagues, well, you didn't work side by side, but an FBI special agent in charge had a comment to say, and I'd like to hear your words on what he had to say about this particular case, and then a final thought on what we can do to harden the target.
Fantastic. So, yeah, this is what FBI Minneapolis Special Agent in Charge Michael Paul said. He said, the thieving greed of fraudsters who target senior citizens knows no bounds. Using a tactic like telemarketing magazine sales, these deceitful scam artists bilk hard-earned money from their aging victims, leaving so many financially devastated in their retirement years and without recourse for recovery. So that's it, Freddie. I mean, that's the problem, right? I mean, these predators are targeting our elderly that have no recourse to recoup this money. So it's very important to learn how to harden a target. So a couple of suggestions that I'll make on that. A first suggestion that's getting a lot of popularity when I share this is consider purchasing another telephone number and give that out only to trusted individuals. Mm-hmm. That will decrease the attack vector that some of these predators use by the telephone. Also, what I would suggest is have trusted, responsible family members come and visit an elderly person more often. Even if it's one or two more visits per year, that could really, really make a difference. And then finally, what I wanted to share is in a lot of these different schemes that these financial predators use, they will attempt to speed up or rush the relationship, whether it's a relationship to purchase an item or a magazine subscription or to conduct an investment or even a romantic scheme. So what I say is trust your gut feelings and slow down the process. Also for an online scam, ask them to do a video call. If they're not willing to do a video call, chances are this is a romance scheme. And if they are willing to do a video call, ask a trusted and responsible family member to join in on that call. But those are a couple of suggestions.
Well, those are really good suggestions. And the website again is endefa.org. I'll say it again, endefa.org. End Elder Financial Abuse. John, I can't thank you enough for being with us and sharing some really up-to-date information hitting right in Minnesota where a lot of our listeners are about elder financial abuse. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you very much, Freddie.
Thanks for joining us this week on New Beginnings. And it happened this week in 1982. A Washington, D.C. jury found John Hinckley Jr. innocent by reason of insanity in the assassination attempt on President Reagan and the shooting of three other men. In 1989, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that burning the American flag as a form of political protest is protected by the First Amendment. In 2001, Hall of Fame blues performer John Lee Hooker died at the age of 83. In 2013, on his 30th birthday, the U.S. charged former NSA contractor Edwin Snowden with espionage, theft of government property, unauthorized communication of national defense information, and willful communication of classified communications intelligence. In 2020, Kurt Cobain's guitar he used in Nirvana's MTV Unplugged show sold at auction for $6 million. In 2022, during a Senate hearing, Texas Public Safety Chief Steve McCraw called law enforcement's response to the Uvalde school shooting an abject failure as they put the lives of officers before the lives of children. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity.
Today, we've got a big time hot topic, very timely, as a matter of fact. So let's dive right into it. So here we go. What is a no loss market account?
So a no loss market account is it's something that I've started seeing more and more showing up in marketing. And it is 100% a marketing term. How long the state securities and state insurance regulators allow people to get away with saying it, that is up for grabs. I am just waiting for the hammer to come down on this one. But it is a very shifty way that insurance agents have started marketing insurance products. Rather than saying, oh, well, we're selling you an insurance policy or we're selling you an annuity or whatever, they're now calling them no loss IRAs or no loss Roth accounts or no loss compounding interest accounts. And I mean, you know, if you think about it from their perspective, it's a great marketing gimmick because people have gotten wind, you know, to the fact that when somebody talks about no loss, they're generally talking about insurance, even though there's ways of investing with protecting your principal, but the SEC and security regulators don't really allow us to talk about it because the truth is, well, everything, including insurance, has the ability to lose money. But insurance isn't regulated the same way as the securities world is. And so people are saying things that they really shouldn't be saying.
So you call it a no-loss marketing account. I like that. But when I hear market, and you hear like annuities and you hear investments, you've always said in the past that you don't consider, and tell me if I'm wrong, you don't consider annuities as investments.
Correct. I do not consider insurance products to be investments. They are great tools. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm a big fan of insurance as a tool. And there are things that insurance can do that nothing else really can do because it's a contract. Because it is a contract between you and another individual, another company. And there's investment products. There are other types of contracts that you can get that do similar things. But because it's a contract, it operates by different rules than investments really do. And so when it comes to insurance and it comes to annuities, you know, if you want some of the other things that insurance companies typically do, like having death benefits, having, you know, death benefits, living benefits, things like that, those are really what you go to an insurance company for. As a kind of separate thing, they do have, you could use them as a way to, you know, store your value, accumulate your wealth. But just know that it comes at a cost. You're not getting something for nothing. There are there are cheaper ways of doing the same thing outside of the insurance world.
You know, it's great to have you clear that up, because in their marketing of a no loss market account, when people think market, you think stock market, you think, what do you do with the stock market? Yeah. You invest, and you're saying this is not an investment.
And I
think you touched on it just a few minutes ago. So these terms they're coming up with, no loss market account, right now at this point in time, mid-June 2023, these terms aren't regulated by the government right now?
They're not regulated. So it's a very weird, right? That we've got multiple regulatory bodies that regulate different aspects of the financial services world. However, there's a bit of a disconnect. There's these gaps where people can kind of fit through. And like in our last episode, we talked about real estate. Real estate is one of these huge gaps that people fit through. And oftentimes real estate will be promoted. The ads for them are, here's how to get 8 to 12% compounded returns with no risk, right? Or with little risk or whatever. And they're able to say that because they're not regulated as a financial advisor or as an insurance agent. Now, on the insurance side, technically speaking, insurance agents are not allowed to tell you what to do with your money. They're not allowed to give you investment advice. They're not even really allowed to give you retirement advice. They're only allowed to describe insurance products. But as we all know, as every single one of us has, you know, who has a pulse has met an insurance agent, we know that that's not what they talk about, right? And they get away with describing insurance products as investments or as retirement vehicles or whatever it is. And they use all of these language. And, you know, if they use it, if they get too aggressive with it, they will get shut down or they will get fined. But generally speaking, there's just so many of them that it's difficult for them to be properly regulated. And there's no way to, they don't have the same kind of oversight that financial advisors do or people who are true fiduciaries have. And it creates a lot of confusion out there because they go out there and they just say things and it sounds like, you know, this is what people want because they're very good at figuring that out. But it's not necessarily going to deliver what people promise. And here's really the sad thing is that every now and then, every few years, there are these class action lawsuits that are generated by the people who buy into these things and then discover that it's not what they were sold. And they sue the insurance companies, they sue the insurance agents over misrepresentation. They get settlements. They get settlements for pennies on the dollar, but they get settlements because it is cheaper for them to get to for these people to stay in business and just pay the settlements than to really properly regulate it. And there is a move in the insurance regulation community and in the financial advisory, you know, the securities and insurance, you know, administrations, the state bodies that are responsible for regulating these industries, to bring that more under control and to make it, and the insurance companies themselves want that their insurance agents are securities licensed so they don't have to deal with this. But for the time being, we do have these people who they're very well intentioned, but they're going out and they're talking about products in ways that are not accurate, but the average investor can't tell the difference.
True story. If we've got just a couple of minutes, my late uncle, my godfather, was an insurance agent for many, many years. A huge company. I don't want to name it here, but they came to him and they said, you know, here's where we're going. The model is, and it was about retirement this, retirement that. Now you are a retirement planner, and he's like, no, I'm not. I sell car insurance, you know, whatever. And it really bothered him. They wanted him to go to classes and this, and it was all, that's where the money is and blah, 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 blah. Grow your franchise, A, B, C, D, E. And he's, you know, I'm 65 years old. I think I've had enough. I'm not going to turn into something I'm not. And it wasn't too long after that this particular company, exactly what you said happened. There was a huge class action lawsuit that all these people that were all of a sudden told, now you're a financial planner. The advice they were given, they didn't really know. You can't learn it in one or two classes, as you know.
Yeah. Little. Yeah. It's a lot of this is also, you know, you got to see how these things play out, right? This is why me as a financial advisor, I monitor my client accounts on a daily basis. I'm not looking to see if they're making money. What I'm looking for is, is it behaving the way that I expect it to behave? Right? Because that ultimately is what our job as financial advisors is to do, is to help create the experience that our clients want. And when it comes to insurance, right, or it comes to all these products, because they're individual contracts and they're constantly changing, and they're, I don't know if you've ever read any of these contracts, they're 100 pages long, and they've got buried in there that they can change the terms of the agreement at any point, and they may or may not have to notify you. So for instance, right, you'll hear these insurance agents talk about, you know, okay, well, you can have this no loss market account. And the way it works is, you know, you'll get crediting when the market goes up, but when it doesn't go up, you'll get zero, right? And so just by not losing, you don't make as much as the market, but by not losing, you're going to make more money over time. And in theory, that sounds good. But here's the thing. They'll show you numbers of, you know, a hypothetical 7% or 6%. And they'll say, you know, that's a very conservative number to use. There's a reason why they're not showing you actual numbers, because they can't show you actual numbers. There's no actual illustration that can go back and show you how this would have worked over the last 3 years, because the insurance company has so many little nuances in that contract that allow them to control that. So yeah, in theory, they say, well, yeah, you're going to get 80% of the upside, up to 7%, right? So in theory, you'll get that number. But here's what they don't tell you, that there's a spread associated with that. So, you know, you're not actually going to get that 6%. You're going to get 6% minus their 2% spread, which is essentially their management fee. And that number is subject to change at any time. And you're not getting the actual market return. You're getting a price to point-to-point pricing. So you're getting the price change. But 40% of the market returns is dividends. That's not included in that number. So you already are starting at a 40% loss. Then you're adding fees on top of it. Then you have the fees for the fact that this is an insurance product. And so there's, you know, mortality fees, because you got to pay for the insurance component. You got administration fees that you got to pay for that. You got to pay for their financial advisors. You got to pay for spreads. You have minimum charges on each of these subaccounts. The insurance agent got to get paid. And although they're technically it's not coming from your money, it's definitely coming from the performance of this product. And
then eyes rolled in the back of my head.
And then when you try taking your money out of this, right? Sometimes you got to pay more. The numbers that you're pulling out are based on different things. It's, you know, all said and done. I literally saw a contract, a statement for a client the other day, where over 5 years, they had a 1% return. 1% return. And this is something that had a contractual guarantee of a minimum of 1% every year. So how over 5 years did they only manage to get 1%? Right. And it's because of all these things that you can't illustrate, right? These insurance agents, a lot of them who are touting this no market, whatever, no loss, and all these gimmicks that sound like investments, they have not been around long enough to see what happens. They have not been long enough. Go ask an insurance agent who's been doing this for 30 years, right? And you'll see there's a reason why the guy who's been doing this for 30 years is not making millions of dollars. It's because he's seen the ups and downs of the market, right? He's seen all the tricks that the insurance companies do, and he isn't naive enough to believe all of this hype that, yeah, you can get this. Instead, he'll sell you what it is, and he'll say, this is a CD alternative, right? This is a great life insurance product that you can tap in XYZ way. So I think, you know, you got to take a grain of salt with all of this and understand that the insurance companies are not capable of doing something that you cannot get in the investment world. You can get the same type of stuff in the investment world without all the fees associated, because it's not a life insurance product masquerading itself as an investment.
I've heard you say that before on this particular Label on Fire podcast that so many people are subscribing to. You've said that in the past. So last question, and it's the big question, and you've touched on it, but let's just hit them right between the eyes. Can these no-loss market accounts, can they actually provide the guarantees that they're touting?
They can provide the guarantees against loss. They can't provide the guarantees of returns.
Okay. One more time. They can provide the guarantees against loss,
yep,
but they cannot provide
the
guarantees of return. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Label. That's all the time we have. You can join us again next week. And here's what we're going to be talking about. 3 easy ways to minimize taxes in retirement. That's next time right here.
We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number 4, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. It's the weekend and it is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell reminding you, you can follow me on Twitter at Freddie Bell and also join in the conversation on Instagram, IG. That's Freddie Bell Radio. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook with Freddie Bell Radio Shows. And did you know that today is National Smarties Day? It celebrates the sweet legacy of an iconic candy and the Smarty Pants people who never stopped learning. Smarties have been around since 1949. That's over 70 years of celebrating the sweet candy wafer roll. If you've never tried Smarties, here's your chance to become a new member of the Smarty Pants Club. Smarties are rolls of a small pastel-colored candy tablet that are sweet and a little bit sour, too. Unlike most candy, Smarties have only 6 ingredients. There are 6 different flavors in a Smarties package. Flavors are randomly mixed together for each individual Smarties roll. So, get you a roll of Smarties and celebrate today with National Smarties Day.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
If you have a positive COVID-19 test, it's important to stay home and away from others for a minimum of 5 full days from the date of the symptoms or the date you had a positive test result. When near people who live with you, wear a well-fitting mask. You can return to most activities after 5 full days of staying away from others if your symptoms are getting better. Continue to wear a mask around others indoors through day 10. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
Many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and thank you for being with us in this first weekend in July. And joining us right now is Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. Kathy, before we really get into this, for any information that we cover today, how can our listeners get more information about these details?
Sure. More information about everything AARP, our advocacy work, our community engagement work, or ways to volunteer is at aarp.org/MN.
Kathy, with this last legislative session that just ended a few weeks ago, there were some huge wins. And when we were together not long ago, we talked about the paid family medical leave. We talked about Secure Choice, Social Security tax relief. But there are other wins, too, including reducing prescription drug costs. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, we know, Freddie, that far too many people are, you know, making those really hard decisions to choose between paying for their prescription drugs and covering their basic needs like food on the table, heat or cooling at this time of year. And so what we did is we really pushed to tackle the high cost of prescription drugs through the creation of a prescription drug affordability board. And so what this will do, this board will prohibit price gouging by pharmaceutical companies by setting those upper payment limits for any medications, any prescription drugs that are sold in Minnesota. So our efforts, we hope, will reduce costs for consumers. It will reduce costs for the government. It'll reduce costs for health plans as well as other stakeholders. So this is a really important issue, really not just for our seniors and those 50 and older in Minnesota, but for everyone across the state.
I was talking to an individual last week and was hearing about how the prescription drug, especially with high blood pressure medicine, is such a big win for people who suffer through that. But just across the board, this is you don't pick and choose the ones that you can save money on. This is actually money in your pocket if you are living in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's the intent behind it, is that this Prescription Drug Affordability Board will, you know, address any price gouging. We know that manufacturers have raised prices, you know, seemingly with no reasoning behind it. And this will really take a stab at that and keep those drug prices down.
Talk about new investments in home care and other services like that. I know some lawmakers made some big investments in this area. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, lawmakers really did make some very significant investments in programs that serve older Minnesotans. And it was really an effort to address that long-term care workforce crisis that we are facing. So there is new funding that will help ensure high-quality care and making sure that nursing homes have adequate staffing to care for their residents. Lawmakers also made some very critical increases to senior nutrition funding, which we know has been so important. We've secured some funding for age-friendly community grants, as well as a Live Well at Home program. And folks might not be familiar with this program, but what this does is it funds some of these community organizations, community groups, who are providing some of those services that help keep seniors in their homes who otherwise would maybe end up in a nursing home. So we know that nursing homes, you know, they have a purpose. Lots of folks do rely on them for their long-term care needs, but people want to stay in their homes and communities, and these Live Well at Home grants will help those local organizations allow those individuals to stay in their homes as long as they would like to.
Aging in place is really a big thing for seniors, and this really goes a long way in supporting those efforts.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Finally, can you talk about property tax relief?
Yeah, well, this is another way that we can help people age in place and stay in their homes and communities. So this new law expands the renter's credit, and it also allows renters to file for that credit at the same time as they file their income taxes. And so that way, we hope that more folks will take advantage of that opportunity to save a few dollars. It also increases the homestead exclusion and the homestead credit. That's some ongoing dollars and some one-time relief. And then we also expanded the Senior Citizen Property Tax Deferral Program. And that really provides some very targeted relief for homeowners who maybe have lived in their home a very long time. And just as you know, cost of housing has gone up in the last, several years. Mm-hmm. And along with those property values, there's also been a spike in property taxes. And so this tax deferral program will provide some very targeted relief for those folks who might have seen that spike in their property taxes.
Kathy McClear, big wins all across the board with Secure Care, Social Security, and the range is huge. And thank you so much for being with us and sharing about the big legislative wins this session at the state legislature. And if you like more information, as Kathy has mentioned, you can always go online and find those details. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
On the lighter side this week, we forget what the doctor told us. While you might not recall everything your doctor tells you, you're pretty confident you remember most of the information, right? Probably not. A study found that most patients forget as much as 80% of what their doctor tells them as soon as they leave the clinic. And nearly half of that information they say they do remember, they remember incorrectly. I got a quick joke for you. A woman calls her doctor and says in a panic, "Doctor, my child has swallowed a magnet." The doctor says, "Don't panic. The magnet should pass through the system soon." The mom says, "How will I be sure?" And the doctor tells her, "Stick him on the refrigerator. When he falls off, you'll know." It's wacky, but it's true. In India, a police officer made his first arrest after 36 years with the force. The officer arrested four men who had robbed a jewelry store. And what is the advice people would give their younger selves in six words? Number one, stop putting sugar in your ketchup. Number two, practice making eye contact with people. Number three, failure and criticism are good things. Number four, don't eat so much ranch dressing. Number five, stop blaming your parents for everything. And number six, of the advice that people would give their younger selves in six words, forgive without needing an apology first. And finally, in the UK, a man dialed 911 to complain about dinner. He told the dispatcher, My wife's left me with two salmon sandwiches left over from last night, and I'm in the chair here, and she's out there decorating. She won't prepare food for anybody. The operator interrupted him to say she couldn't continue with the call because the number was for emergencies, not to be used just because his wife wouldn't cook him a hot meal. The police department says they get a lot of calls like that, including another one the same week from a woman who called the cops to say she couldn't find her glasses and needed them to cook her potatoes. Just for fun this week on the lighter side on New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
One out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
He told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Here's why companies, clubs, and organizations just like yours book Freddie Bell for keynote presentations.
I've been able to find my way through trying circumstances, and with each seemingly devastating situation, I've come back stronger and better. Why? Because of the techniques that embody courage, enthusiasm, and staying focused on the goal, that dream and that desire. What's your dream? What's holding you back?
If you've been struggling to get to the top, if you're searching for unprecedented breakthroughs, if you're looking for the light when the way seems dark, book Freddie Bell today.
The way to a successful life is using proven techniques that move you, that help you, and sustain you. It's time to get fired up. It's time to move up and to show up.
Freddie provides the keys in your keynote address. Call Freddie Bell now. 888-639-9738. That's 888-639-9738. Or visit freddiebell.com right now to book your engagement.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Now, here's a thought to hold. What is the question to which my life is the answer? I invite you to hold that question. What is the question to which my life is the answer? Or to put that another way, our lives are shaped by the questions that interest us. Our lives are shaped by the questions that interest us. I bring that up, yes, a little bit of an ad here. I will begin on June 28th, a Wednesday, a seven-week series on the book by Maria Nemeth, PhD, called Mastering Life's Energies. Some of you studied that in 2017 when I first came to this church and offered that class, and I think it is so essential and powerful, at least to me, not only her ideas, but how she outlines our principles in unity in a highly effective way. In my opinion, one of the most effective teachers of our unity principles, even though she was not unity by title, she got the idea. And she poses this: What is the question to which my life is the answer? I bring that up because my intention today is to talk about one of the most consequential, most beloved, most remembered parables that Jesus offered those who would listen in his day. We know it as the parable of the prodigal son. I suppose because I relate to the story myself, that it's a powerful story. But I want to set the context. It comes and is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. That's the only place that we have this story. But in that chapter, it is bookend, if you will, by several much smaller stories. But they're all making the same point. Jesus was trying to get the same point across. The first little story is about the 100 sheep, and one of them was lost. If you were raised in the Baptist church, we used to always sing a hymn about the 99, the 99 who were safe. But there was one out there lost, and the good shepherd goes and searches as long as it takes to find that one lamb, puts it on his shoulders, and brings it back home to the safety of the fold. Jesus was illustrating the qualities, the fatherly qualities of God that would go to any length to find one who was lost and bring it back to safety. Then he immediately told the story of a woman. She had 10 valuable silver coins, but again, one was lost. And she swept and then cleaned her entire house with great diligence. And then she found that missing coin and invited her neighbors over to celebrate with her with joy and excitement that what was lost was found. Then Jesus launches into the story of the prodigal son. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I think not Jesus, but the tradition of time might have missed Jesus' point in always referring the story, calling it the prodigal son. Prodigal. A one who wanders off and loses all of his supply through foolish living. That's always emphasized. That bad boy, he ran off and he lost it all. But prodigal is one of those interesting words that in different forms have different meanings. And I like to call this story not the prodigal son, but the prodigious father. The prodigious father. Well, maybe I better turn to a little definition to deepen our understanding. While prodigal implies reckless or wasteful lavishness, threatening to lead to early exhaustion of resources, to lose a connection with one's source through thoughtless and foolish spending. Prodigious, on the other hand, suggests a marvelousness exceeding belief. Wow! In the quality of something, goodness, greatness, intensity, even size. But the prodigious father is great and unlimited in love. And I think that's the quality, the fatherly quality, that Jesus was trying to get across to the people. Not so much the son sets the stage of the story. The father, the prodigious Father, great in love, mighty in its embrace and its supply for us. So look at the story for a moment. Jesus said, once upon a time, we know something good's coming. Once upon a time, there was a man who had two sons. One day, the younger son came to his father and said, I relate to this. Father, eventually, I'm going to inherit my share of your estate. Rather than waiting until you die, I want it now. I remember my father often argued with his own brother. His own brother got sources together. He was not an especially wealthy man, but he did all right. He was a teamster. And he'd get his money together and give his only daughter, she was loved horses, and he'd buy her a trailer, the best saddle, special things. And my father, being the older brother, would chastise him and saying, well, you'll provide for her when you die. Why are you spending all your money on her now? Leave it to her when you pass on. And my Uncle Kenneth said, I want to see her enjoy it now while I'm alive. I want to share in the joy. Well, he and my father didn't exactly agree on the subject. But as you'll see in a few moments, my father had another way of expressing his generosity. So this prodigal son wanted his share of his father's estate now, while he's young, while he could enjoy it. And he went to far and distant lands, and through great living and lavish spending with his friends, he depleted all of his inheritance. And when the funds were gone, guess what? The friends were gone as well. And he came to know real want, real lack.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Time now for a bit of inspiration. Here's Freddie with this week's Words to the Wise. Words to the Wise.
Check this out. Picture this. I walk into my local Walgreens pharmacy and instantly noticed an elderly couple struggling at the counter, desperately trying to obtain their prescriptions. The situation seems overwhelming for both the couple and the clerk, who appears equally bewildered while attempting to explain the intricacies of the medications to them. Seeking clarity, the clerk asks the gentleman his age. The clerk says, 1904. In a swift response, the man firmly corrects her, not 1904, 1944. And despite the confusion, they finally manage to produce the much-needed prescription. But the challenges don't end there. It becomes apparent that the medication is intended for a colonoscopy preparation as the man starts asking about the quantity of Gatorade he should purchase. Unfortunately, the clerk has no clue about the specific instructions, leaving the couple even more perplexed. As if the situation couldn't get more stressful, the line of people waiting to pick up their own medication stretches out, with at least 8 individuals growing increasingly impatient. Moved by their predicament, the elderly couple decides to step aside and find a quiet spot to sit down to figure out things on their own. In the meantime, it's finally my turn at the counter. While I initially struggled with my own prescription issue, I managed to resolve it rather quickly. As I finished up, my attention is drawn back to the couple still struggling nearby. Without hesitation, I approached them and offered my assistance. Curiosity piqued my interest, and I kindly asked if I could take a look at their instructions. As I read through them, a realization dawns upon me that they actually don't need to buy any Gatorade at all. All they have to do is just add water to the provided jug, consume the concoction at the prescribed intervals, and they'd be good to go. Overjoyed and relieved, the couple expresses their heartfelt gratitude. As I began to walk away, something incredible happens. The people waiting in line who witnessed the entire scene started applauding. Their spontaneous show of appreciation catches me off guard, which warms my heart. And little did I know that my simple act of kindness would touch not only the elderly couple, but also those around me. Reflecting on this experience, it reminds me of the profound impact that we can have by extending a helping hand to others. It's a powerful reminder that amidst our own busy lives, taking a moment to assist someone in need can create a ripple effect of positivity and bring people together. So, my friends, let's remember to be compassionate, patient, and willing to lend a hand, because you never know how deeply your actions can touch the lives of those around you.
Words to the wise.
That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.